Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're here.
Or evening if it's Sunday night.
Yeah. Yep. Or if you're in, like, Australia.
Good day.
Good day, mate.
Or good night. I don't know. I think it's like night there. It's like middle of the night there.
Yeah, no, I think they just say good day all the time.
Yeah. So, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yep.
So you're one hour sesh, bro, where we kick it. We talk about your probs and trubs.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Bible has to say about those.
Your probs and trubs.
Yes.
You know one thing that I hate about our culture?
Is shortening every word?
Yes.
Totes. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. My mom the other day commented on someone's Instagram, and she put amazeballs.
No, she did not.
She literally did. And I commented on the Instagram post, and I was like, Mom, who are you? And this is the thing, too.
Wait. Linnea Heitzig wrote amazeballs on Instagram?
Yes.
This is our culture.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then she also, she uses, like, a lot of the Instagram shortening of words in regular speech. And so she'll say, like, LOL or totes, or she'll say other things, and I don't know.
I may use one that I've had since, like, WoW, since back in the WoW days, BRB. Like, if I'm walking away, I constantly say that. I gotta go to the bathroom, BRB.
Hmm.
Sorry, bro. Sorry to let you down.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
At least I can picture you as, like, an elf when you do that or something. Makes it better. If I picture you with a broadsword and a beard,
there you go.
I'm okay with that.
I've got a killer stash right now, so you know I could look. I kind of look like Brodo,
dude,
my little gnome.
You know? Do with that kind of stash, no one can question your manhood.
True story,
man.
Unless it's Freddie Mercury from Queen, in which case he had a pretty gnarly stash,
and he was a flamer.
That's one way to say it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. His band's called Queen. I mean, you know. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. It is Shock Therapy Live. We've already got a few emails this morning. If you would like to email us in anonymously.
You know, question about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the song have said, here we are, born to be queens. We're the princesses of the universe.
Wow. Ooh. Amazing. That has nothing to do with emailing it.
Yeah, it should have been that, though.
Is that your first question for Shock Therapy Live? Okay. I don't even know how to respond. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com. That is the email address. Or we posted something on Facebook. You can also get your Facebook post in.
Yes.
Facebook.com/mystaticradio. And our wonderful producer in the next room taking all your phone calls and getting everything ready for said show. Now, we got an anonymous email earlier this week, and I'm just going to hit you with it.
Yeah,
we haven't even talked about it. It says, hello. Yes, pretty much. I would like to know if you believe in aliens. In my opinion, I believe they could be demons. Do you have anything to say about the subject? Could you elaborate on the fallen angel concept and if that ties into aliens? Thank you. Smiley face. True story. So, aliens, what do you think?
Well, it depends how weird of a Christian you are if you believe in them or not.
Doesn't, what's the dude's name who
Missler.
Just, like, defected?
Doesn't Missler?
Yes, Chuck Missler.
Yeah.
Who, like, moved to Australia and is like, I don't like America, but I love aliens. No, that's not really what he says, but it's something like that. He truly believes that.
Here's the thing. The Bible doesn't talk about aliens, and I know you get those people, oh, what about what, you know, Elijah saw? He saw the Ruja, and it was an alien ship and all this stuff. No.
Right.
The Bible doesn't talk about aliens. When we read about the creation creation story. It doesn't read about God creating life on another planet besides Earth. It just says that God created man. And so from what the Bible says, no, aliens don't exist.
Okay.
And I do believe, you know, I've heard people that have talked about the concept of, oh, alien sightings. And a lot of people that really get into aliens get to the point where it becomes almost their source of worship that,
right.
Well, aliens created life. Aliens did this. Aliens did that. And so I believe that it could be demons. It could be demonic oppression, demonic possession, things like that, because Satan's number one goal is to get our eyes off of the truth and onto fiction. So, again, if he can use aliens as a way to do that, to get our eyes off of Jesus and put it on something else and take our eyes off the real power in heaven and place it on, you know, lesser powers in the heavens, then he's gonna do that. So, I think that there's a very big possibility that when people have seen, aliens, or they have seen this or that, that it's a tool or a tactic from Satan, that it's not necessarily actually aliens. So that would be my take on it.
Oh, it could become a form of idolatry.
I mean,
you're right. People study, people worship, people, a couple years ago, we went down to visit some family in, Roswell, cause, you know, I went to military school down there, and, we met my uncle down there, and we went to the museum, and there were people that were just flat stoked. I mean, it was a way of life, this alien community of, you know, of believers, you know, who watch X-Files way too often and believe that there are things out there. But I like what you said. You're right. There isn't such references in scripture, and I know people like to talk about that, and I agree with you. I don't know. Could there be? Whatever.
Yeah, I think I don't think it really matters.
Right. Right. If aliens came down today and said, hey, check it, bro. We're from planet Zaxxon, and, we created you, and, bow to us because we're aliens. That doesn't negate the fact that there's a man named Jesus who came to this earth who died for your sins, and it doesn't take away from scripture, and it shouldn't. I don't know that it would really change.
But if they did say that they created us, we'd know that that was a lie.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And I think there are those that would immediately fall down and go, everything I know is wrong. Oh, this is so false.
Yeah.
Paul, that movie Paul, I tried to watch it. I gotta be honest. I'm Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and I've been a fan of Edgar Wright who did, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and like Scott Pilgrim. But Simon Pegg and Nick Frost did this flick, Paul. And that was what it was about, this alien. And, in it, Kristen Wiig's character was the Christian. But the portrayal of her as a Christian was so offensive. I couldn't get through it because she was so ignorant and stupid and, oh man, now there's an alien, which means my faith is non-existent, which means everything I believed is a lie. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's it. That's that distraction that, ooh, if there are aliens, then God's not real.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Jesus wasn't true. And, you know, I don't know.
So I really do believe that, all that, again, and this is the case with a lot of things that people would say are paranormal or, have power. You know, we talk about, witchcraft, or we talk about, what people would say would be wizards, or, mm-hmm. or we talk about magic. All of these things are tools that Satan would want to use to get our eyes and our focus off of Christ and onto him. So he can use a multitude of avenues for that.
And speaking of that, I actually just got a text from a good buddy of mine who said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, what about this? Because we talk about no references in scripture about aliens, but he says, well, what about dinosaurs? There are no references to dinosaurs in scripture either. But I would
dispute that, actually.
Book of Job, talking about the Leviathan, or talking about,
the behemoth?
Yeah, the behemoth. And so actually, I want to get the actual script. Job 41. There we go. Job 40 and 41, talking about the behemoth. Talking about the Leviathan, descriptions that basically fit a dinosaur.
Yeah.
This tail the size of a tree trunk and all of these great things. So if you look to the book of Job, there you could find references of said dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I mean, with aliens, we're talking about intelligent life. And all throughout the Bible, when it talks about, it doesn't say that Christ came and that he died for aliens and for man. It doesn't say, if any man or alien deny himself and follow me. You know, it's really clear that we are created in God's image, that we're not created in aliens' images, that, you know, aliens aren't created in God's image. It's very clear that we are created in the image of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even on the concept of the 7 days of creation. Well, yeah, it doesn't say that God created dinosaurs in the creation, but it doesn't say that he created elephants in the creation either. It says that he created the animals. Right. And so we go through this scenario of God creating the animals, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals that roam the earth. And then God creates a special creation, which is us. There's no in-between creation there. There's not, you know, animals, us, and then aliens, which are smarter than us. You know, it really jumps from animals to us. So.
Right. Yeah, Job 40, verse 15, behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold his strength and his loins and his power and the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinew of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. Anyways, wanted to give that actual reference there from the book of Job.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in Job 41 talking about Leviathan, which, you know, people could equate to, like, this sea creature of awesome from horror movies. So,
I like that.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. In fact, we got a caller. Let's take it. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello. You're on air.
Hi. Hello? No?
No.
What do you got?
Okay. She just left the vet's office. There was a couple there who were having to put their cat down. Sad situation. She's wondering if we love our animals too much. Her name is... Actually, never mind. She doesn't want her name to be out there. So she put... These couple put their cat down. I don't know what a cat's name is.
Yeah.
Not Fido, because that's a good name. So a cat name, like something bad. So the question is, do we love our animals too much?
Marie, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, hi.
Okay, so I just left the vet's office. I don't know if you just said. I left the vet's office right now, and there was an old couple there who, you know, I had just walked in, and I had noticed they had sat down, and they started to cry, and, you know, and they were looking at their animal. And so then I went to go sit next to him because I couldn't help it, and I hugged the woman, and the woman told me, you know, the cat's 21 years old, and, you know, it's so hard to lose a pet. And so I just started crying with them and stuff.
Right.
And I've been crying. There's not even my cat, you know, but I've lost animals, and I've been there when we had to euthanize them, you know. And
yeah.
I guess my question is that do we have an unhealthy bond with our animals, or in the eyes of the Lord, is it good? Is it bad? Is it acceptable?
You know what? The first thing I thought of, to be completely honest, is David. David was a shepherd boy who tended to his sheep, who would take on a lion, who took on a bear to protect his sheep as this shepherd boy. Do I think that some people are crazy and put little sweaters on their animals and are obsessive and psychotic and need help? Absolutely. But do I believe that God would smite us because we love our animals and we're sad when we have to put them down? Dude, I'll tell you right now, I have a dog. His name's Indiana Jones, and he's my best friend. And when the day comes, because I know he's not going to live forever because I'm, you know, a grown man, I'm probably going to cry my eyes out because I love my dog. And so, Nate?
Yeah, so this is where, I mean, I love my dogs too, and I've lost dogs, and it's been sad, and, you know, me and my wife have cried about it. But this is where I would say it becomes unhealthy. I talk to some people, that they become so intent on their animals that they can't, that, like, I'll literally hear them say, if my cat or dog isn't in heaven, then I don't want to go to heaven. And they take it to this extreme level of, like, their cat or their dog is, like, their livelihood. And that becomes unhealthy, you know, to get to that kind of a place where you're like, I heard one person say, they said, well, our cat's going to be in heaven. And I gave them what I thought was a biblical answer, and they did not want to accept that. They said, well, I want to believe no matter what that my cat is going to be in heaven. And, you know, my cat makes me happy, and so, you know, God wants to make me happy, so my cat's going to be in heaven for me. And they just couldn't, they couldn't picture a heaven without their cat or without their pet. So I think that becomes kind of an unhealthy obsession with an animal. But it's normal to have something that you love and to be bummed out if that something that you love dies or is lost or whatever happens. That's a normal feeling. And so I think God created us with that emotion, and I think that's a normal emotion.
Yeah. Well, from the very beginning, when he created Adam, he was to be, you know, over the animals, but he cared for them. He took care of them. He named them. We were given dominion over them, but not to be cruel and to, you know, smite these things. You know, he cared enough that when he flooded the earth and was destroying mankind minus Noah and his family, he saved two of every kind of animal. So yeah. Obviously there is a love there for animals. Yeah, I agree. It just becomes unhealthy when you dress them up like Darth Vader and kiss them and
well. I don't see that biblically that you can't dress your animals. I'm gonna totally dress my dog like Darth Vader now.
Yeah, and that's not like a biblical thing. That's just a personal weirdness.
That's personal.
Those things are like $30, bro. I'm not going to spend $30 on my dog so he can look like Indiana Jones for 6 hours on Halloween.
I don't have children. Dogs right here, they're sitting with me right now. Two German Shepherds. They are my babies,
there you
know.
Go.
But I would never dress them in anything. Okay. Good.
Because that's not
natural nudists.
It's not biblical. It's normal to not dress animals. It's just normal.
It's just normal. There you go. Thank you so much for the call. It's a good question.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. If you'd like to chime in, hang out with us, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. Or, if you don't care, be so bold, Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can get your questions in that way as well. I know we got a couple phone lines to get to.
Wouldn't it be ironic if your dog, Indiana, like, died in like a Temple of Doom or something?
Wow. Like some crazy man, like, ripped his heart out and,
dude,
like, sacrificed him to, what was that thing called? I don't remember.
I just think it'd be really ironic if your dog died in a way that was, like, from that movie.
Oh, okay.
It'd be kind of bad, but it'd be better than just, like, getting hit by a car. It's like, how'd your dog die? A voodoo wizard ripped his heart out. That'd be pretty cool.
Who are you? 505-338-3700, the phone number.
How'd your dog die? A giant boulder crushed him when he was stealing goods from a grave.
This is true.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'd still be sad, but it'd be like, dude, I told you, if you go on those exploits, you know, archaeologists, it's crazy.
However, your dog die, snake bit?
He is kind of an archaeologist because he's constantly digging in our backyard, and it makes me crazy.
Mm.
I think.
Not archaeologists, just stupid.
Yeah. 505.
I don't know why dogs dig. What are they looking for? Every time my dog digs, I think, did someone bury a body in my backyard?
I'm like,
you always hear those people, they moved into a house and they found like bodies buried in the backyard of the people who lived there before. It's like, do you smell
dead
bodies?
Did you just say you always hear those stories?
Oh yeah, all the time.
I've never
every day,
heard that
every
story.
Day, all the time. My neighbors, all the time.
505-338-3700, the phone number, or of course, studio@mystaticradio.com. We got a couple phone lines.
We got a comment.
Okay,
so
line
let's take
two.
It. Yeah.
Static.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I grew up on a farm, and we couldn't get too close to our animals or pets because dogs can be replaced. And I was actually a shepherd myself because we raised sheep.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I can like kind of relate to that. But that's our livelihood. So
yeah.
At the same time, you're protecting your livelihood as well as you care for your sheep.
That makes
sense. I loved my little lambs. They were so cute. You can't help but love them.
Right.
But, you know, that reality when they're on your plate was, like, horrifying. That was, like, a really difficult thing. Would you have to separate that?
Yeah, my wife grew up in Clayton, New Mexico, and her dad, cattle rancher, and but she would name them. She would name them. So it'd be like, we're eating Susie, you know?
That's
like,
horrible.
She would, and her sister was horrified. Chrissy thought it was hilarious, but yeah.
Man. My brother had great fun when at dinner one time because he used to race the pigs, and he's like, "How's Clifford taste?" And I was like,
Clifford.
Yeah, but my mom, gave the dog insulin shot for the longest time.
Wow.
So it was strange. And then I also wanted to comment on asking a question about the scripture reference about the cat going to heaven, because I have kids now, and they're not raised in that environment. And when I say, like, a dog's a dime a dozen, they're like, oh, that's horrifying. And right. they watch that All Dogs Go to Heaven show, and, you know, propaganda is terrible. So how do I talk to my kids about this?
Well, here's the thing. What biblically does it take for a being, any being on earth, to go to heaven?
Well, you have to believe in Jesus.
Okay, so you have to not just believe in Jesus, accept him as your Savior. So can a dog say a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, or can a dog have a faith in Jesus Christ?
Not that I'm aware of.
And that's where I take it to, not that I'm aware of either. You know, God died on the cross, not for the sins of the animal kingdom, but for the sins of mankind. Right. And so, right. now I will say this, because I've heard some pastors say, and I think, you know, there's merit to that, that, you know, heaven is going to be a truly happy place. It's going to be a wonderful place. And part of what makes this world so awesome is the creatures that God has created. So right. is there a possibility that there's going to be animals in heaven? Yeah, I think there is. Is there a good chance that your dog who died went to heaven? Probably not. So do I think there might be animals in heaven? Yes. Do I think that when dogs and cats die, they go to heaven? No. Because then here's the other mentality. Dogs or cats don't possess that ability to accept or deny Jesus Christ. So if God just sent all dogs, all cats to heaven, well, wouldn't you rather be a dog or a cat? Because that would mean that as a human being, we're put in a place where we have to accept or deny Christ. Whereas a dog or a cat's like, oh man, you're born as a dog or a cat. That's the best animal to be, because you just go automatically to heaven when you die. You know, it seems contradictory to what the Bible says. So that's kind of where I go with it.
Yeah, and I've heard both sides. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created animals, he created man, and in that perfect garden, there were animals. And so, and then, you know, and then people will reference, well, the lion will lie down with the lamb, and it's like, well, you know, gotta dig a little deeper than that. But, so I wouldn't stamp a, like, doctrine upon whether or not animals are in heaven.
And again, that's why I say I wouldn't be surprised if animals were in heaven.
Yeah.
But my dog who died when I was 12, do I expect to see him, like, waiting for me in my mansion?
Right.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that could feed into reincarnation.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, I'm going to come back as a dog so I can go to heaven.
Right? Yeah. Wouldn't that become, like, the ultimate, like, reincarnation? Like, okay, I've got
to
become a dog because
I'm
so stoked on going to heaven.
That is hilariously sad. Because, unfortunately, I'm sure there's somebody out there who believes that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for offending anyone.
There you go. Dude, thank you so much for the call.
If I were a dog.
Uh-huh.
I would bite all kinds of bad people all the time.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm going to heaven anyway, so just bite bad people.
We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you got a question, maybe you're going through something, dealing with something, don't know how to answer a friend on something, let us help you out. That's what we're here for. 505-338-3700. Or you can get your anonymous questions in to studio@mystaticradio.com. We'll be right back.
Our world is plagued with sin. It distracts people from the truth, devastates those who practice it, demoralizes the human condition, destroys communion with the Heavenly Father. Sin causes eternal death. There is one person who dared to confront all sin, dared to share the perfect truth, dared to confront a wicked world system, dared to die for our sin. There is one person who then was resurrected and dared to live. Join Calvary Albuquerque at University Stadium, Sunday morning, March 31st at 7 for the Easter Sunrise Service with music from special guest Lincoln Brewster. Lincoln Brewster joins thousands to hear this year's message from Skip Heitzig.
I dare you to live.
Bring your family and friends to University Stadium for a life-changing message Easter Sunday at 7 a.m. Details at calvaryabq.org/Easter. No backpacks, please. That's calvaryabq.org.
Attention, Bible clubs.
Why do you get the megaphone? Why?
We want to kick it with you.
You have a loud enough voice.
I mean, we do.
I'm the one that's soft-spoken.
We want to hang out.
I deserve this.
We want to have lunch.
Give me the megaphone. You don't need it.
We want to hang out with you.
Kidding me?
We're fun.
Wow.
We're cool.
So, Bible clubs.
You gotta be so loud.
Steve-O and Mitch, what's up? We want to hang out with you. We would really like to come to your school and rock some lunch.
And we want to give you tickets to the prom coming up.
And as an incentive, we're going to throw down some tickets to prom.
Yeah, I just said that.
So hit us up through email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
You're so loud.
And I'll read them and be like, sweet, I got an email.
Okay.
Okay, have at it. Do whatever you're going to do.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was so obnoxious.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Good morning. 928. Or 7:28 in the p.m. We re-air Shock Therapy Live every Sunday night at 7 o'clock, so if you missed part of the show, you can always catch it then.
Yeah, suspension of disbelief. Just pretend that you can call in.
Ah, yes. Or, you know, if you like to podcast it, a lot of people download our podcast, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. It'll take you right to it. You can download all of our programs. In fact, we've talked about animals extensively.
So if you're listening on Sunday, how's the snow?
Is it good?
No, I don't know. I just like made it. If it actually snows now, it's going to be super cool. Someone's going to be like, oh my gosh, he knew it was going to snow.
You're a prophet.
I know. If it doesn't snow, they're going to be like, why is he talking? It's like,
you're a false prophet.
It's like 75 degrees. Or if the apocalypse happens, that'll be ironic.
Yeah, that'd be really ironical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're listening to Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you would like to chime in, if you would like to hang out with us with whatever we're talking about.
Oh, man. William Petperson hung up.
Oh, well, we got an anonymous email, and yeah. It's a doozy.
It's a doozy.
You ready?
Yeah. It says, is it the one that I'm reading or the one that you're reading?
Yeah, no, the one you're reading.
Okay. Hey, guys. I am in love with my girlfriend. We've been dating for 4 years, and I have every intention to marry her. Here's the situation, though. Monday night, before I dropped her off at her house, she confessed to me that she was an alien.
Stop it.
Oh, sorry. She confessed to me that she was feeling for another man. I have met this guy but don't know him personally. Ever since then, I feel shattered, betrayed, jealous, and above all, angry. She said she still loves me and I believe her. We've been walking with the Lord together and really growing with our beliefs, going to Renovate, Lobo Group, etc. She's taken the right steps. She did confess her feelings to me, though it was 4 months late. She's blocked his number with the telephone company and off of Facebook. The other guy knew that she was in a relationship, but they still went a month of flirting. I have a lot of anger about the situation. I don't think a breakup is needed, perhaps a separation. I'd rather go through the storm with her than be out of the storm without her. What do you suggest I do? Any advice? So,
a separation?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, again,
you're dating.
One huge issue I have with dating relationships today is we create these mini marriages.
There
and it's
you
like
go.
You're not married. You can't separate. I mean, you can either break up with her or you can keep dating her. And this is what I would say. I was going to actually, as I was reading your email, I started answering it in my mind, and then you answered it for me. And I was going to say the best thing to do is see if she's willing to, again, block the number on your phone, remove her Facebook, you know, basically put up every safeguard in her life to remove contact with this guy.
Yeah.
If she's willing to do that, I think that it shows that she truly is repentant. And again, this is something that she confessed to you. It wasn't something that you found out and you confronted her on, and she said, oh, well, I'm sorry, I'll change.
Right.
She confessed it to you. She laid out the ways in which she was going to change and safeguard herself. So I look at it and I say, you know what? I think that her heart's right in that situation. She's done what's right. And if you said, I mean, again, at the very beginning of your email, you said, I have every intention to marry her. Not I had or I wanted to, but
good
you
point.
Have. And so if you truly have every intention of marrying her and you believe that this is something that you can forgive, then forgive it. And I think that forgiveness in the Bible is just that. You forgive and we forget. We don't hold it against somebody. We don't say, well, you know, I forgive you, but you need to pay for your sins. So, you know, we're not going to talk for 2 months, and then in 2 months we can start dating where we left off and everything's gonna be great. You know, in this situation, I think that if you feel in your heart that this is forgivable, then you forgive. If you feel in your heart this is not forgivable, then you break up with her and you don't marry her. That's something that, again, you're not married right now, so you answer this question right now. If you can forgive it, forgive it. If you can't, don't marry her.
Now, maybe that means, you know, you're talking about that quote-unquote separation. Maybe that means you take a day or two to think about it. Don't just lightly go, man, I love her so much, I'm going to do it, and then think about it in your mind. mind and get angry all over again, and because that's not forgiveness. And so, man, maybe you take that day, you dig into scripture, you pray about it, you seek God and figure out, all right, can I do this?
Yeah.
I would say you can. I would say you should. I mean, we are called to that. And if you can get past it, if you can truly forgive as you've been forgiven, remember that, man, go back, reread 1 Corinthians 13, because being that love, that kind, that not jealous, not self-seeking, the keeping no record of wrongdoing, if you can say, yeah, I have that love for her, and I will continue to have that love for her.
Option number three.
Yeah.
You tell her you'll forgive her if she rides a lawnmower to your house and plays a boombox with a song to your window, and then you guys fall in love and ride off together into the sunset.
Wow. But they're already in love, so that option's kind of weird.
Still kind of cool, though.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be pretty rad, actually, to see that. So, thanks for the email. You can get your email in studio@mystaticradio.com.
Option number four, you say, if you really love me, you'll cut off a toe for me.
Stop it right now! People take you seriously!
Please don't cut off your toes.
Don't do that. That's a terrible option. That was option. Wow. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. Hey, I have something real quick. You know, we don't talk about this much. Sunday nights, we...
Option number four.
Oh, no.
You guys don't date in real life, but you, like, play, like, an MMO, and you guys date on the MMO, you can be a dwarf princess, and he can be a dwarf prince, and you guys can, like, have a relationship through WoW instead of real life.
I thought you were going to take anything seriously, but not. Hey, look, we're getting a phone call, producer. Phone number is 505-338-3700. What was I going to say?
Man, Mitch is just playing with cats in there. She's just doing her own thing.
She was making sure that I'm still young and cool and hip and letting me know that came from Easy A. I've never seen that movie.
Came from what?
Easy A, boombox lawnmower reference.
No. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Say anything.
You are so ridiculous. It is not Easy A. It was originally John Cusack.
Yeah.
John Cusack. What movie was that where John Cusack comes over and
he's got the boombox.
Easy A. Oh, my gosh.
She's Easy 18, so it's okay. Anyways, 505-338-3700, the phone number, or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Okay, here's what I was going to say real quick.
Yeah.
People listen to us on Wednesday mornings. They hear us again on Sunday nights. And on Sunday nights, we also do a little something called Shock Therapy, which is a 26-minute teaching program from you, because you're the teaching pastor at Renovate. So let's talk about Renovate for a minute. I want people to know about it.
Yeah, let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
What's going on with Renovate?
Man, it's fun. It's so cool. Every week we see more and more new people come. We see just people accepting Christ in droves. A few weeks ago, we saw 25 people come forward and accept Christ. Last week, we saw about 15 people come forward and accept Christ. And so we're just seeing tons of people accept Christ, new people coming. And it's just really neat. You know, I think it's a lot different than what a lot of people think church is.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's just, we're seeing God do some incredible things. So if you're a college age, and that can be very vague, we say between 18 to about 28 ish.
Okay.
Then come by Renovate. We meet Thursday nights at 7:30 at the Lobo Theater, right over in Nob Hill next to Buffalo Exchange. And, it's just a really great time. We've got a lot of fun things coming up in April. We've got Crowder playing at the Lobo Theater.
Okay.
What is that sound?
It's an awesome, this thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's okay. Everybody else can still hear us.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got a lot of cool things coming up, and God's really moving. So, we invite you to come on out.
All right, there you go. All the details, renovateabq.org, if you would like more information on Renovate and the ministry of Pastor Nate Heitzig. You like that?
Yeah, what is that for?
It's called an EAS test. They do it every month, and they're purposely doing it in the middle of our show, which is amazing. So if you're listening in Albuquerque, that's what they're hearing. But if you're listening anywhere else in the world, you can hear us. So good times. We're going to go to the phone lines.
Can we take a break?
No, why would we do that?
Because people can't hear us in Albuquerque.
Done. It's already done.
Hey, if you just missed that, you missed the most important part of the show. Sorry, you'll have to podcast it.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
So I had a question. I've been going through some times with girls, and I struggle with sexual sin, and I'm trying to find a accountability partner. I've talked to you guys before about that. And my question is, how do I single myself out for God when all these distractions and everything, and I'm trying to find an accountability partner, but it's kind of hard, and every time I find one, it just flakes out.
Hmm. So is your question how to find an accountability partner or how to stay steadfast with the Lord?
Steadfast.
Okay. So, you know, I think the two my two favorite scenarios of someone in the Bible who remained steadfast to the Lord despite the fact of the culture they were living in is Daniel and Joseph. Both of these men lived in very corrupt, morally apprehensible cultures that encouraged sex, they encouraged debauchery, they encouraged just a number of things that were against their beliefs. And I believe it's either Daniel or Joseph says that he purposed in his heart not to disobey God. He purposed in his heart to please the Lord. And so I think that's what it really requires more than anything, a real act of sanctification, understanding what sin is, how it separates us from God. And when we let that become a true reality in our lives, I think the logical step is what Romans says, is that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And so I think that when we purpose in our hearts that we're going to remove ourselves from the world and that we're going to remain pure and faithful to the Lord, you know, I think it becomes reality. We have to truly let our relationship with God become a reality in our lives and understand what He did for us and what sin does to us. And when we do that, it plays a different role. And when I say understand the reality of it, you being a human being would know what cyanide does. And so, you would be crazy to wake up every morning and drink a little bit of cyanide, go to the hospital, get your stomach pumped, and then come home and drink a little bit more cyanide, because you would physically know that it's killing you and destroying you. Yeah. And so the thing is with sin is it's doing the same thing to us. It's destroying us from the inside out, and ultimately it's sending us to a far greater punishment than death. And so I think if people really understood what sin did, if they truly grasped the severity of sin and separation from God, we would be far less likely to indulge in that. A huge role part of that is accountability. And so you've had a hard time finding an accountability partner. The big thing for finding an accountability partner is getting plugged into a church, a body of Christ, where you're getting fed. And then from that point, I think a good step to take is getting involved in small groups at that church.
Yeah.
Getting involved in a group of people who are mutually seeking the Lord together. And then within that small group, finding an individual who you can have as your accountability partner. That's the way that I've seen it work and function the best.
Do you have a piece of paper and a pen in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead.
I want to give you a few scriptures to write down, and I want you to meditate on these every single day. I'm actually doing a message this Sunday at my church on the temple of pleasure, and it's the god of food, the god of entertainment, and the god of sex. And I've been studying, for the last couple of weeks on this message, and I want to give you a few scriptures because as men, obviously, we are tempted, and we have to make that covenant with our eyes, as Job said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully after a woman." And so there's some scriptures I want you to write down, and I want you to think on these every single day. First of all, I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not the only person who's dealing with this. You're not the only person who's struggling with this. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says it this way. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." I think a lot of times when we're struggling with sexual sin, one, we're embarrassed. We feel isolated. We feel alone. And because of that, we don't want to have that accountability partner because we feel like either they're going to make fun of us, they're going to get pissed at us, or they're not going to understand. And so I think you need to know that you're not the only one that's dealing with this. You're not, flat out. And guess what? God's not surprised by this. I also think you need to realize that when you're battling this, when you're struggling with this, or as you had said, you know, you're losing this fight with it, you got to realize that these temptations are always going to come. And if you look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, starting in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." You have to realize that God's promises are true, that if he says something in his word, you have to believe it. Because if you believe in his word and if you believe in his promises, you will not fall. You won't fall. But you gotta also know this. Verse 13 says some pretty harsh things. "Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Verse 14, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." You are being tested. You are being tempted, but it is not something that, you know, oh, God's putting this hot chick in front of me and I really don't want to sleep with her, but I just can't. I can't help it right now. That is something from within your heart. There's something going on in your heart. Your spirit and your flesh are at war right now, and you are losing the battle because you are choosing to lose the battle. I've been in situations where I felt like, you don't understand, it was overwhelming, I couldn't help myself, it's not my fault, I'm just a man, this girl's dressed this way, and I didn't grow up a quote-unquote believer. I grew up in a Christian home, I was on my mom's faith, but I fell into sexual sin very young, and throughout the course of high school, college, I was ensnared by it, and I always thought, you know, this isn't my fault. This is I'm a man. I'm battling this, but you got to know that you are tempted with these evil desires from within yourself. This is your heart that needs to change. Your attitude about it needs to change. You are lured and enticed by your own desire, and you got to know this: desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's spiritual death. That could be physical death. That it brings forth death. But you start with verse 12 that says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." I believe that. I believe God's word. I believe that you will be tested. You will be tempted. And there will be times where it's harder than others. But God will never, ever, ever let you be tempted beyond your ability. You can withstand this. He will always provide a way of escape because he is faithful. He says so in his word. And so here's what you need to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. I still read this every single day. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." You need to realize he loves you. He's not looking down on you with smite and saying, "You sinful, adulterous idiot." He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, but you have got to humble yourself. You have got to bring yourself under control, this self-control. Verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Satan is always going to be at it. He's going to be against you. He's going to be attacking. And if this is your quote-unquote go-to sin, he knows all the right buttons to push. He knows all the right things to do. You have to flee situations. You have to change your thought life. You have to change your attitude. If you see a chick, you can't linger on that. You can't stare at her body. You can't say, "But I'm just looking." You have to be sober-minded. You have to be watchful. You have to flee. Verse 9 says, "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." You're not alone. People are dealing with this. Dudes are struggling with this. Verse 10 is the best, though, because it says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And that is fantastic. That is great news. God loves you. He is going to strengthen you. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability, but you still will be tested. You're still going to go through these trials. You're still going to suffer. You're still going to deal with this, and you may deal with this forever. You're a man. Dudes are very visual. And so it may be something you have to train your eyes. You have to train your thoughts, because one thing that I constantly have to remind myself is we have a thought, and that thought is always going to lead to some emotion, whatever emotion it is. And that emotion will lead to an action. So you have to stop this at your thought life. You have to determine, you have to discipline yourself to stop this sexual sin at the thought life. Stop it at the thought. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Don't watch movies that have to that are overly sexual. And nowadays, unfortunately, you can turn on NBC and see plenty of sex. So you got to distance yourself from that. You've got to know what you're up against. And you're up against a great deal because, man, this culture right now is all about sex. So you distance yourself from that. You separate yourself from that. You conform no longer to the patterns of the world. You be transformed by that renewing of your mind, by digging into the Word, by reading and rereading these scriptures, not just reading them, but believing them and knowing them in your heart and to be true, that God is faithful and that, yeah, you're going to struggle, you're going to deal with this, but this is overcomable. This is not insurmountable, and you're not the only person to deal with it. And so, but you got to start at the thought life. You got to get that under control, man, because when you have those thoughts, it's going to lead to an emotion. So you need to retrain your emotions. You need to retrain to not go down that path of self-seeking, that path of sexual sin, and train yourself to, when you're getting in that times, maybe you dig into the Word in that moment. Maybe the action is praying. Maybe that action is calling a friend. Maybe that action is simply hitting your knees and praying those scriptures out loud, praying those promises out loud, talking to your Savior, man. But you've got to retrain yourself.
That was Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Steve-O. If you want to hear more of Pastor Steve-O's teaching, you can download it at mystaticradio.org.
Stop it right now. I'm just saying, man. I've known too many people that have been ensnared by this and think they can't beat it.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Totally.
Because it's not that great that it has ensnared you so much that you just, I'm an addict and there's nothing I can do, because that's crap.
Yeah.
That's a lie. That's a lie. You retrain yourself. You retrain that thought life, and you believe in the promises of God, who says he is going to exalt you. He's going to provide a way of escape. But also know that Satan is your adversary, and he's looking for who he may devour. He is searching around like a lion, and he's looking for you, and he's already got you pinpointed. He knows your go-to. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your sin. So you got to make changes in your life, man, practically speaking.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, would you also suggest fasting also?
Possibly. I mean, pray about it.
Okay, all right.
I mean, and let's talk about this. Fasting from what?
I don't know, to teach myself self-control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I do, and I know this may sound ridiculous, but a really good friend and pastor a long time ago said, you know what you need to do? You need to discipline yourself. You need to discipline yourself to say no to one thing every single day. Doesn't matter if it's that extra Coke, some iced tea, whatever it may be, something you want. Discipline yourself to say no to one thing every single day, because when the big things come, you will have that sober-mindedness and you will have that character to be able to withstand it and say no to the bigger things when they show up. So maybe you need to start learning to just say no. Say no.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe try even for a time something that you really, really love. So let's say you really, really love playing video games. Say, you know, I'm going to fast from playing video games for a month. Because if you have the self-control to stop doing something that you really love, then when the temptation comes, you might have the self-control to stop doing that as well. So,
amen.
Okay.
I couldn't agree more. Right on,
right, man.
Thank you for calling in.
Cool.
505-338-3700.
We've had a few questions in between that teaching time, so
we're gonna try to
take some of those. No, seriously.
We've had like two email questions, a Facebook question, and two phone questions.
Dude,
he's called in before. He's asked for help. He's asked for accountability.
It's good.
You gotta get practical with that, bro.
Cool. So here's another question we got from someone, an email. It says, I was teaching the other day about being water baptized, and I told my students that you had to be born again before you could be water baptized. One of my students asked me if we need to be born again first, then does that mean that all the people John water baptized were born again? Not sure how to answer that one. LOL. So this is what I would say. Water baptism in the Bible, when we read about it in the New Testament, was so closely related with what we would call justification that they were one in the same. They happened at the same time. So when an apostle would go preach the gospel, when someone would get saved, they'd be baptized right then and there. Mm-hmm. So water baptism for them was, in an essence, their public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. So for them, it was the sinner's prayer, in essence. Again, what is baptism? We're just acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead, that we are dying to ourselves. We're asking Christ to fill us up with his spirit, and we want to live a new life in him. That's what baptism is. It's a public declaration of an inward commitment. So that can be done at the time of salvation or after salvation, but it can't be done before salvation. Again, water baptism is, in essence, saying the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
So when we read about it in the New Testament, that's what it's saying. So those people who were water baptized were born again because that was for them that justification point. Now, in our day and age, it's a little bit different. And Paul talks about that, and Peter talks about that baptism of the heart. Rather than and so again, this baptism of the heart is that opportunity, saying the prayer, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, and then later on realizing what baptism is and wanting to do that as a public declaration of that relationship with Christ.
Booyah.
Cool. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, that's good.
Cool. We're doing like a lightning session.
Yeah,
here.
We are. We have
bam.
We have like 3 minutes. Ready, go. Next.
Cool. We got another call-in question that they called in and then they hung up, it looks like.
Okay.
It's from Anonymous. Her and her sister-in-law got into an argument about a year ago. She tried to apologize to her the day of the argument, but it didn't work. Her husband has advised her to not try again, but she really wants to try and reconcile. But she is afraid to. The strife is tearing the family apart. Her husband is sick and getting worse each day. She doesn't want something to happen and things not to be resolved between everyone. Her and her sister-in-law are Christians. What should she do? What should she do?
She should go. I immediately thought of Matthew 18. Like, and I don't know, you go to that person. I realize that you said you're sorry that day.
Yeah, and this is funny. I wonder why your husband doesn't want you to reconcile. Again, this would be your husband's sister. If this is your sister-in-law, right?
Yeah.
So this is your sister-in-law, so that means it's your husband's sister, and your husband doesn't want you to try again. I don't know. If you and your husband are both Christians, you don't want to purposely just go against what your husband asked you to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that we want to reconcile those relationships. So I would say the best thing to do would maybe be to sit down with your husband, express to him your heart, express to him that you feel this is something you need to do biblically, and see if he can get behind that.
And maybe the husband feels like that's what she did that day when she went to her and apologized, and the sister just didn't take it or whatever, and it didn't want to reconcile.
So that's where it's hard too, biblically. You know, you've gone to your brother, in this case your sister in Christ, and you've tried to reconcile, and she hasn't received you. And so from a biblical standpoint, you've done what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But does that mean that you shouldn't try again? I don't think so. I think that, you know, if it's in your heart to try again, that you try again.
Yeah, and I mean, talk to your husband about it, pray over it, try and discern the difference. Is this something that is conviction on you, telling you that you need to go back to your sister? Or is this something where it's like a guilty conscience type thing where you're just like, I just don't like this and I don't like confrontation, but I also don't like us being at odds and I want everybody to like everybody because not everybody's always going to agree.
Yeah.
So I guess discern what it is, whether or not.
So we've got a call in line one and line two.
Line two.
We're going to take line two.
Static. Hello.
It's just your non-believer who's...
Why do you always call when there's like 40 seconds left to show? Because you always have...
I don't know. I was trying to call earlier, and it was on the topic of the whole sexual thing.
Oh, okay. Ready, go.
Yeah. Well, I've just got a question. It's a personal question for me, because thing is, I'm slowly getting in there. I listen to the sermons that Skip does, and because I've been sick, and I don't want to infect people, so I've been going... on Sundays, and I haven't had sex for at least 3 weeks, definitely on Friday, but it's been a little bit longer than that, and I just kind of was wondering what is the whole stance on if you were sexually active before, but you are giving it up because you are trying to let God into your life and accept everything and change your life and your lifestyle and everything like that.
Yeah, so really quick, on the topic of sexual sin and what does it look like after you've given your life to Christ, here's the key. You have to be not just trying out God, but in order for sexual sin or any sin for that matter to be forgiven and to be washed clean and be made pure, you have to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah says, "Come now, let us reason. Though your sins are red like scarlet, I will wash them white as snow." Now, if we never ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, if we never take part in the sanctification and the justification that he offers, then that sexual sin or whatever sin that is in our lives lingers.
Yeah.
Again, going to church and doing good things doesn't take away that sin or that stain. The only thing that takes away that sin or that stain is the blood of Christ. And so we can't be justified unless we ask Christ to come into our lives. Now, if we do, and if we have Jesus Christ living in our lives, it says that he'll wash us white as snow, and you can experience in essence that purity that Christ wants to offer you found in his blood and in a relationship with him.
Does that help you? You should hang out on the line. Hang out on the line with us. Hang out on the line, because we're out of time, but that's a big question. So we'll finish that up off air. There you go. All right. That is it for us. We are out. We'll see you guys again next week, except we won't because you're at a pastor's conference.
Yeah, I'm in Tucson, yo.
I just thought about that. So just kidding. Just kidding.
I wonder if the Angels are going to play anywhere there.
Oh, come on!
No, they don't. They don't go all the way down there, do they?
They stay kind of in. If they play like, I think the Diamondbacks, they'll, I don't know. It depends.
No, Diamondbacks are in Phoenix.
No, I thought they were in Tucson. In the Tucson area for spring training.
Oh, I don't know.
Nah, I don't know. Anyways.
That'd be funny if they actually play normally in Phoenix. They're like, oh, we got to go to Tucson.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.